By the power of the Holy Spirit, I rely upon to bring this message from the truth of your word. And Lord, as we read it then, when you spoke it, Father, teach us, Lord, how to apply it here today to our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as I was reading this passage putting together my notes, I tried to capture this moment in reality of what it would be like to be there when there's thousands of people who gathered together. They all came to hear Jesus speak. And I was trying to relate to what that would be like. From my experience, I don't know, maybe you have an experience where you've been in a crowd of thousands of people. I know the only one I can really think of was 1980. It was at the California Summer Jam in the L.A. Coliseum. There was 90,000 people there, and there were various bands playing, one of whom you'll all be familiar with. Ozzy Osbourne. And I remember I had been a Christian for a year, and I was in that environment, and people were literally stepping on each other. That's what it reminded me about. There were people actually being trampled because of all the excitement to see this person that they came to see. But it just made me think about that. You know, crowd, when there's a crowd of people, people are not the same. It's a different environment. I just want you to get the idea of this, because here's this crowd. People are pressing in on each other, stepping over each other, on top of each other. Maybe some people are being trampled. And Jesus, of all the things to say, and that's what makes this passage important, he pulls the disciples aside into a huddle, kind of like a football huddle. And it just really impressed me as I'm explaining this, because of all the things that Jesus could say, of all the things that he could describe in this event, he's teaching his disciples. His disciples are going to be the new religious leaders of the age. Presently, as he's speaking to the disciples, the Pharisees are the religious leaders of the day. I think some Pharisees enough credit. They were people who practiced holiness, who taught holiness. They were not all hypocrites, but many of them in the pursuit of holiness wanted to always be right. We see that in this age today, the same thing among religious leaders. They wanted to be right, and in doing so, their hypocrisy led them away from their example of sharing to a lost world to the fact that they were above everybody else. And what Jesus seems to be implying here is that what really draws this out of leaders is a crowd. When there's a crowd, we tend to want to please man. We want to please mankind, men, women, and, you know, boys and girls, you know, the whole package. We tend to want to appease to them. To make that update, think about it, we're human, so I can share this, and you don't have to read into it because we're all human. We know when I share this, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You can relate to it. Maybe you don't want to relate to it, but it's the truth. And so when we're in a church setting, when you're in a session meeting, sometimes we're thinking about impressing someone whom we know thinks a certain way about something. We're only human. It's not a criticism. Sometimes we have a church meeting, maybe. And this is just to bring it into light. This is what Jesus was talking about. Where the temptation comes in for hypocrisy is when you're in that audience. And there's this fear factor, and it exists. I know this from experience as a pastor, and I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying I sympathize with people when I have seen this over the years. They have something maybe very valid to say in a church meeting, something that's worth something to the whole group. But they refrain because they're fearful of those leaders who stand stronger in the environment, who we know, well, maybe if I say this, you know, they might not like it. That's what hypocrisy here is all about. I just wanted to just briefly bring that to light of what it would look like today. It's not saying that's this church or I'm picking on anybody. I'm saying any church, any environment you go where there's leadership, you're going to find this. And it's a part of life. Jesus knows that. And he knows we're human. And he does love us. And he points what hypocrisy actually is and what it looks like. So when I was putting this message together, I shared with somebody on Wednesday night some of the ways that God really speaks to us, and that oftentimes is through a question. And so I'll say it this way. Most of the things I'm sharing with you, I have been over the years alone with God, and this is how I've learned to understand it. This is how I've learned to apply it to my life, and now I'm in a position sharing it with others. And I can say it works because it's our relationship with God. You may have examples that you have here today as you hear this and say, well, I can relate to it, or maybe it's something in a different way. When I think about hypocrisy and what Jesus is saying here, bringing everything into the light, that nothing is hidden, my question to myself and to you here today, or statement I should say, is my worth to God in public, where we are right now, is what I am in private. And that's what Jesus is saying, that there is such a thing in a positive sense. Jesus does promote secrecy in the sense of intimacy with him. He does say to do things in secret. He says in Matthew chapter 6, he's very explicit about it. He says to give in secret. He says, when you give in secret, not knowing what your left hand, knowing what your right hand is doing, when you do something out of benevolence and you give to someone or help someone out, sometimes you don't know who the person is, do you? Think about, I'm sure, I know it had to happen in this church. There's Christians in this church. Somebody helped somebody out. They know who it was. Somebody did it in secret. You know, and God says that when they did that, it says, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Your NIV says, will reward you. The idea is that God is going to give you something in return for your faithfulness to him. He talks about in the same chapter, secret prayer. And you're alone with God and you're talking to him. And then this is where I get insights. This is where you gain insights from God. You're alone with him in prayer. Prayer doesn't just mean it's a petition. You're talking to God. Sometimes you hear me say that when I say, let's pray, let's talk to God. That's what we're doing. And as you talk to God, you're asking him questions. You're not like you would a person. I have a regular conversation, and sometimes hours go by. And I saw that kind of permeate into the Wednesday night Bible study. That's a taste of what I'm talking about when 2.5 hours went by. Wow, right? Isn't that amazing? The time, you know, when you're with God, that's one of the signs of being with God. The time just goes whoop by. Like that. I almost forgot to make a call to Linda this morning because the time went by so quick. It was 4:30 in the morning. Next thing I knew, it was 7:30. I mean it. I was like, where did it? I was awake. I was in God's word, you know, right? But Linda's faithful. She always gets to that phone and she's ready to go, right? As soon as she gets the cats out, back in, right? Rounds the cats up. Right? And so the Bible says also in that prayer, when we pray in secret, he says, word for word, he says, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. You see the pattern here. All three, the secret of giving, the secret in praying, and then he says the secret in fasting. You see, I guess the Pharisees, they liked to people to know they were fasting, and so they would put on a fasting face. They would look tired and worn out, and sometimes you can't hide it. Somebody says, "What's wrong?" And it's kind of awkward. Just off the record, you know, and you say, "So I've been in a couple of gatherings here during Lent," and somebody will say, that I want something to eat. And so I figured I better have something to say beforehand. So I would say, I'm not hungry today. How's that for originality? Huh? But the Pharisees went out of their way to let people know, I'm fasting. Look at me, I'm holy, I'm righteous. And Jesus said, when you fast, not to let other people know, to put oil on your face, you know, look lively, you know, don't put on a big show, you know, that you're fasting. You see, that's part of what hypocrisy is. The people, the Pharisees, and not just the Pharisees, religious people, they put on a show. It's an outward appearance. That word hypocrisy, right, in original Greek, it's the word they use for people who play acted. You've probably seen pictures or documents of this, and they would have these masks on poles, and for the different character they were portraying, they changed the mask. Now maybe they're smiling and saying, then they took another mask and they're sad or they're angry, whatever it was. It's a mask. And the idea that applies to us here today that Jesus was saying then is that when we get in that audience of people, and not just in religious settings, you know, local settings and different groups and things I've heard some of you talk about where you're around people in general, we sometimes put on a mask. It's not our true self. And what Jesus is saying here to the Pharisees, he's warning them especially. What we're reading this morning is especially for them. We can learn something especially about leadership. We can apply all these other things I'm talking about, but specifically in the context of the scripture, he's addressing his disciples first because they were the new, as I said, they're going to be the new religious leaders. And he's cautioning them not to fall into the same temptation, the same trap as the Pharisees did, who valued public reputation over inner transformation. They were more worried about their image and themselves than they were portraying the Word of God, demonstrating the Word of God to the people around them. That's why Jesus, when he cut it to the quick, he called them in one occasion, he called them whitewashed walls, right? It's such a perfect example because a whitewashed wall, I know years ago when I was a kid and I worked in the barn, you know, periodically you'd whitewash the walls, right? And I don't know how you did it, but the way we did it was, you know, the barn, the walls had, you know, manure and cobwebs and flies, you know, dead spiders, all this junk. And you take a broom, as kids, you take a broom over it and sweep it off. But boy, you get that 5-gallon bucket of whitewash, you just slopped it on there, right? And you evened it out and it covered everything up. And it was so nice and white and clean. So Jesus uses that example for the Pharisees. Yeah, you look good on the outside. The mask looks great. You look fantastic. But inside, you're worse than the people you're preaching to because you're wearing a mask. And God's wanting them to see. And he's definitely wanting the disciples to see this because especially the fact they were young. You know, when we read the scripture, and I don't know offhand, remember exactly where it is in the Bible, but it says a new convert, a new leader, shouldn't be in the position of pastor because of pride. They're tempted. A new leader who's never been a leader before, who's never been in a position of leadership, there is this tendency to be proud, to be arrogant, to be, hey, I'm the boss here, kind of mentality, right? And Jesus is saying, that's not the leadership I'm looking for. And so here's the point. Jesus is teaching his disciples that man, in hypocrisy, man seeks human approval. So look at me here today. I'm just to make myself a demonstration. Say, I'm here speaking today. If I was speaking in these terms, Jesus speaking, I'm here today so that you'll approve of me. I sang a song. I'm trying to impress you here today. I know. Wasn't that funny, was it? No, just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just teasing. So, yeah, I'm trying to impress you. And well, I'll throw in some $10 words in there. And wow, he's pretty smart. He's a smart guy, you know. Maybe I'll throw in some experiences I had, you know. I'm polishing myself up. Yeah, man, I'm all that and a whole lot more, you know. I'm the pastor of this church. And if I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to tell you straight because I know what I'm talking about, right? So suppose, and that is a little exaggerated. Maybe not. I mean, Actually, I have heard preachers sound worse than that. But anyway, so he's warning, he's saying that to his disciples, he's using this moment to demonstrate. They've already heard the Pharisees in that same crowd. And so he's showing the contrast, and he's saying to the disciples, man seeks human approval. They're just there, the Pharisees are there to bring that approval. They're trying to gain approval. But then he goes on to say, he's teaching the disciples that they need to understand that the motives of the heart, when you're seeking man's approval, is actually the leaven that he's asking them to guard themselves against. The leaven of the hypocrisy is seeking human approval. That's what he's talking about. And that's why he pointed to the crowd. He said, now, because Jesus knew in the future, they're going to be in crowds of thousands of people coming to hear them speak. And he knew they would be tempted to be like the Pharisees. You know, we saw Peter. We could use examples from the Bible where he stepped up and he was the first and he was the overachiever of the crowd. And he stood out above everybody else, and he usually fell flat on his face, right? And he learned from that experience. But I'm going to conclude this, and I really am going to conclude it. You got to hold me to this, right? Because you know my habits. So, but I'll read this. I printed out word for word here. In essence, Jesus is saying to the disciples, "You saw how the Pharisees just acted. Don't let that same spirit of play acting get into you, because you can't hide from God forever." In other words, eventually, as he said, it's going to come out in the light. The whole point of this message is that God can see everything and knows everything. So as Christians, we ought to live our lives transparently in a way that complies with God's ways and not just our own selfish way. And so that's the message. You know, God can see it all. When we're at home, do we have a different mask than when we're at church? When we speak at home in the public, do we have we speak differently than we do in church? You know the idea. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's be the same person in public that we are in private with God as we spend that time with him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today and for the message. And I pray your blessing on each and every person here today, that you would bless them with your power and presence. Help us, Lord, and I'm sure I could speak for everyone here, that private time they have, that intimate time with you spiritually when they're alone with you, that we would be applying what you're showing us in those times and not worrying, putting it in your hands, not worrying what people might think or being intimidated that I might sound too, I don't know, too weird or too different than everybody else and become self-conscious, but that I'll know that I talked to you, with you, Lord, about it. And I was in agreement with you. And I remember your words, Lord. Your promise says, anything we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So when I heard you and talked with you, we can all apply this. When we talked with you, that we're going to be the person that we told God we're going to be in private. And we'll be imperfect. You know that we are but dust. And your word says, but the possibility of walking with you moment to moment. I pray that through how close we are to you, we can draw closer today. Today, we can draw closer to you. Your word implies that, implicitly and explicitly. Lord, we know that, and we thank you for it. Bless now the remainder of this service as we give glory to you through the closing hymn's name. Amen. Amen. If you're able to.